Sorry I offended you. This is Brandon Marshall Havener. Welcome to the beautiful genius listeners. At some point, I think I might be getting some intro music up in here, so that'll be fun. But anyway, on this episode, we're going to be talking about Leah Thomas in the swimming competitions. And we're going to be talking about the Bad Vegan documentary, because I saw that. And I wanted to really go into the lessons being learned in that process and all that good stuff. Without further ado, let's get into it. I knew I had to touch on these two subjects because, for one thing, I don't know if I want to go super deep into the first topic at hand around the whole argument around trans women in swimming competitions and all that good stuff. But first, let me refer to a post that I made and that I shared for a reason. Of course, I shared it with my sarcastic humor. I said, first you don't succeed. And basically it showed William Thomas ranked 462 in men's swimming. And then it showed a picture of Leah Thomas after the transition ranked number one in women's swimming. So I made that post and I saw somebody else share my post, and somebody had complaints about this post that was, dead naming, I think that's what it's called. So basically, it's offensive to share a trans person's original name because that person doesn't exist anymore. Now, the issue I have with this is that by doing this, you're getting rid of reality. And I want to be perfectly clear here. This podcast is called Sorry I Offended You, which also the woman said, sorry I offended you, when that person complained on the thread. And she said that the saying sorry I offended you is not a genuine apology. And I take offense to that because I made my podcast a genuine apology. And now that's being taken away from me. But anyway, with all jokes aside, I think being transphobic, racist, homophobic, any type of phobic or ism that is being thrown around today, I think actually being a racist or transphobic or homophobic, I think it's a very ignorant and primitive way of thinking. I think it's a horrible thing to hate somebody just because they're trans. However, that label is thrown around a lot as a political weapon, and I want to slice through it. Because I'm all about truth. So the issue that I have here with calling it transphobic and calling it dead naming and things of that nature, it's to gaslight somebody's reality. And gaslighting is abusive. So when you gaslight somebody's reality to tell them there's not a threat and it's not happening, that comes into abusive territory, and we're no longer just having fun and saying, hey, I'm saying this to be offensive. Real lives are being affected. So this picture in general, I just think that it's a good way to point out the truth. You know, if as a man ranking 462 in swimming, and then as a woman ranking number one, there's a reason why there's women's sports is so that women can have their own space. And the thing is with these conversations, we need to have boundaries. We need to have boundaries, we need to be protectors, and we need to bring it back to truth rather than optics or being afraid of being called a certain name. And I'm willing to do that because fuck it, why not? Like, I just think it's so important to stand up for people. A post that I made today I want to read, which is touching on this subject and touching on many subjects of what's going on in the world today that I thought was very important. But let me scroll up here. So I shared, the people most outraged about Ukraine actively vote for the war industrial complex and pressure their peers to do the same. The people who say sex should be taught to five-year-olds to protect them from predators are the same people who don't say anything when politicians they vote for or celebrities they celebrate are involved in child trafficking. The people who yell the loudest about women's rights cower when it comes to protecting women's spaces and are often involved in the bullying of women when they don't fall in line. It's possible to stand for what's right. When we're unified, we can create space. We can create peace, stop the war industrial complex, protect children, women, and trans people all at the same time. Quote, and then in parentheses, I said, refusing to dishonor women does not make you transphobic. But instead, we ignore facts, logic, and truth in order to make optics and tribalism more important than what's the right thing to do. We resort to label inflation and name-calling instead of open dialogue. Humanity will evolve, and this is a lesson humanity needs to learn. Don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid of nuance. Don't be afraid to utilize your education beyond these mindless talking points of the politically uneducated. So, the bottom line here with all this, and I do see a pendulum swing happening and people realizing and people just having, being a voice of reason. And I gotta say it, respectfully, even though I do have a bad taste in my mouth for old friends who have, let's say, labeled me certain things and weren't seeking to understand in these topics, we gotta lay down the law and say, like, look, women's sports was created for a reason. There's a reason why 0% of women play in the NFL, because there's a difference between men and women. By pointing that out, that doesn't mean that men are better than women. By pointing out the difference between biological women and trans women, that doesn't mean that biological women are better than trans women. It doesn't have to be an either or thing. But the differences need to be acknowledged if we want to honor different people. And we can't evolve as humanity if we look at these situations where women are treated unfairly or women are being violated and sometimes assaulted. We can't live in this illusion to protect, let's say, the most oppressed people on the intersectionality scale. And that's a flaw with intersectionality. It's like, it's this thought process, and it's a very binary thought process, ironically. Ironically, it's a binary thought process that it's either or, and it's always the more oppressed or more marginalized people that we need to take sides of instead of looking at the nuance of the situation and seeing what's fair. So in this particular situation, if we were really to tell the truth to ourselves and we would really bring ourselves back to reason and we talked like we were back in 2010, we would say, hey, there's a male body that is violating women here. It's a violation to women to have exposed dick and balls in a woman's locker room. Point blank, period. And, you know, it's like, yes, we can have compassion, but the compassion and the feelings cannot be so heavy that we end up violating people in the process and that we end up erasing spaces in the process as well. And it's violating for a girl to not be able to live out her dreams. You know, it takes a lot to do these swim competitions. It's a lot to play in professional sports. And it's a punch to the gut if someone like me can just say, hey, I decided to change my gender, and then mop the floor with everyone, you know? So I wanted to say that. And here's the thing. If we're going to look at gender through a new lens that we haven't, a new lens from where people believed, hey, there's only two genders. If we're going to look at this from a new lens, there has to be some kind of standards. There's got to be some kind of specifics and there's got to be some kind of nuance. This isn't me saying that I have disdain or hate towards trans people. Because nothing can be further from the truth. But I'm also willing to speak up toward fairness when things aren't fair. So here's one thing. It's like the thing with women's sports. it was definable. You know, if you're a woman and you're not taking performance enhancing drugs, I would assume, in most sports, then you can compete. You can compete with different women. If you're a man, you can't compete with women. Well, it throws a wrench into the whole system. If I'm a man, and what's the qualification process for me to identify as a woman? Is it just to wear the clothes of a woman? Is it just to say that I feel like a woman? Who's to determine that I, you know, like, who's to determine that I really feel like a woman? And those are some touchy subjects that we have to face. Like, what if I'm just an opportunistic male that said, hey, if I identify as a woman, then I can crush women in sports? And that's not saying that's what Leah was thinking, but that's just an example of, like, there's no, you know, what is the qualification process? It just feels like it's all like when society runs of, like, on, hey, you can do whatever the fuck you feel like you want to do, then people end up getting hurt. And I'm one of the libertarian mindset. So I'm all about live and let live, right? I don't want to intrude in people's lives. I don't want to hate people just because they're different than me. And I don't judge people based on the color of their skin or who they identify as or what gender they are or any of that. I don't, you know, it's like, whatever, let's live and let live. Let's party. Let's do some shrooms together. Let's have a good time. However, it does bother me when people are being violated and then they're gaslit. And that's what I feel like trans activists do in these situations. And honestly, I think it hurts trans people and women with this rhetoric that avoids reality. The issue with this all is, it's one thing to stand for trans people, but the radicalized trans activism aspect of this will say trans women are women. But the issue is when you say trans women are women, then you don't notice the difference between male and female bodies. And when you don't notice the difference between male and female bodies, it distorts the entire reality of what you look on into the world. You know, if you're listening to this, likely you have biases when it comes to violence towards two humans, right? If it's a male committing violence towards a female, you're probably more up in arms than if a male is committing violence towards another male, or a female is committing violence towards a male. You're probably a bit more protective. And I'll 100% say that I'm more protective when it's a male being violent towards a female. But when you erase the meaning of gender and there's no grounded philosophy within it, then what do we have when we look at reality? How can you call yourself a protector of women when you're willing to blur the lines and ignore this reality? How are you going to say you're a protector of women if you're allowing words and you cheapen the identity of women, and you're not respecting the identity of women, and you're not respecting women's spaces? Now, back to the NFL example, don't argue with me over this topic because it's a waste of my fucking time. Don't argue with me and try to tell me to my face that a woman competing in the sport is the same thing. Don't tell me that a woman can compete exactly the same as fucking Michael Jordan in the NBA, because there's a reason why there's a WNBA. So don't fucking tell me to my face. And this isn't some emotional thing to be like, you know, like, oh, are you saying women can't do what men can do? Women can do what men can do. However, we're built differently, and men are often are born with more muscle mass. Our bone structure is different. It's biology. So we need to honor that, and we need to honor other people. And while honoring trans people and their experience and letting them live their lives, there's a difference between honoring other people and letting people walk all over you and basically violate all of your boundaries. Are you dishonoring me as a man if you don't let me into a woman-only space? If I identify as a man, are you dishonoring me? No, because, hey, you know, that's their space. Let them have their space. You know, it's like there's times where I need to be away from women. And me being in that space, the same conversations wouldn't happen as if I was away from that space and that same comfort level. Even though I would like to say that I'm a safe man, a safe spiritual man, like there's times where women need time on their own. There's a reason why I'm not going into women's bathrooms. It should be pretty fucking obvious. But anyway, as I was saying, don't waste my time with this argument unless you can get at least 3% of women or trans men, you know, female bodied transitioning into men, if you can get 3% of them to start in the NFL, then we can have this conversation. Should be easy. All I'm asking for is 3%. And then we can have the conversation of why it's so fair for a male body to compete with a female body. And until then, don't message me. don't have this conversation with me, because it's an easy task. We could even say college football, that is originally for men, that seems to be all men in there. Even we can go college football, except we'll raise it to 5%. If you can get 5% of the league to have starting women as like linebackers and quarterbacks, no kickers allowed. Let's be fair here. No kickers, no punters. I'm talking about linebackers, quarterbacks, running backs. If you can get the amount of women playing in that league and starting to 5% in the college ranks, then come talk to me. Then we can talk about this, and then we can pretend that men and women are the same, or male and female bodies are the same. Until then, it's not the same. Now, am I against any type of restructuring or opening up a new league? No, I'm not against that. And in fact, I'll say this, it's like, if it is all the same, why aren't trans women competing in co-ed leagues? Why not? I don't think the boys are saying that you can't compete with us. And in most situations, I'm pretty sure that it's co-ed, men and women, and then women-only league. And women have the option to compete in a co-ed league, or they get to compete in the women-only league. For the most part of what I've seen by sports, it was like that. You know, if there's a woman that can dunk just like Kobe Bryant or LeBron James, I don't think the NBA is going to say, hey, you're a woman, you can't join. I doubt that. I think if a woman can play like Kobe Bryant or LeBron James, they would probably let her in the league. You can fact check me on that, but don't have this argument with me. If you get 5% of women or trans men, if you get 5% in the college league, or even basketball, whatever it is, if you can get 5% to compete in there, then talk to me about how it's all fair. Until then, you don't have an argument to stand on. That's what I wanted to say about that topic. And really, I just want to encourage people to stand up for themselves. When it comes to this topic, I find it very abusive. I find it ironically abusive when, in many cases, when women are called TERFs, which for those who don't know the term, it almost has become a slur at this point. But a TERF is an acronym for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. So it's like a radical feminist that excludes trans people. But it's almost like a slur now. And one example about that is J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter. She was called a TERF for bringing up issues. I think one of the big issues she brought up is, I think trans women being, you know, being in, it might have been like trans women being in women's prisons and stuff like that. If she didn't mention that, that's a big issue as well. There's a reason why there's women-only prisons. Like, you don't want people with a different package coming into a prison where, you know, where women are. So it's just a shame that we tried to blur the lines of reality here. And it's a shame that more people aren't speaking up about it because they're in fear of being degraded and bullied and called a transphobe or a TERF or whatever. And it doesn't have to mean that you're transphobic. It's like, you got to stick up for women's spaces. You know, I was born to be a protector, you know, from an early age. You know, it's sort of like the energy that my parents created me around. They always said that we hope we have an older boy and a younger girl so that older boy can guide our youngest daughter, guide and protect her and sort of be like that big protector brother. And I sort of filled that legacy for the most part throughout my life. Like I've gotten in a few fights for my sister. I've defended her in high school. And, you know, it's just, that's sort of like in my DNA, like, you know, of course, protect women. And to me, when I look at situations like this, I don't have issue with trans women, but I still see, and it is reality, it's not just some insulting dead naming, it's not, you know, being transphobic to realize the reality of that person is a male, was born a male, and can overpower a woman and could put a woman in a dangerous situation. And the protector in me and the person who is a truther within me, I can't deny that. I can't deny that for optics. I can't virtue signal and just ignore this like some people are. Like some people are just conveniently ignoring this topic that would usually be vocal on how they protect women and how they stand for International Women's Day. But when it really comes down to it, they're full of shit. I can't do it. I can't do the virtue signaling and pretend that I am a protector of women and then turn the other cheek when stuff like this happens. So, you know, it's like, hey, I want trans people to live their best lives, and I want them to be able to thrive in society. I want them to be able to get opportunities. I want them to be the healthiest version of themselves, all of that. However, when it comes to violating women, someone has to put their foot down and say, hey, this is wrong. You know, someone has to put their foot down and actually set a boundary instead of either submitting to the bullying or submitting to, hey, well, this is what looks good in the mainstream, so I'll just stand on this side, or, you know, just straight up cowardice or straight up ignorance to actual reality, actual science, actual physics. Like, you know, you've got to look at reality and truth and stand to truth. So that's my rant on that. Let's get into the fun part about bad vegan, which is fun, but also devastating. You know, I've talked about the Tinder swindler. Obviously, these type of documentaries have been catching my attention lately. And I think the reason why is psychology always kind of, you know, catches my attention of how people work and how people really face psychological harm. I mean, if you think about it, the basis of this podcast is kind of built around that, and the basis around my rantings on cancel culture and things of that nature, when it all comes down to it, is psychology. It's all a form of psychological warfare, and it's really about pointing out people's intentions and digging to the truth rather than falling for the psychological game. So it always catches an interest to me to see these situations and how people fall into these traps and what can we do to avoid it moving forward. So I first heard about the bad vegan. I was reading Caroline Dooner's book, author of Fuck It Diet. I want to say that the other book is Fuck It, I'm Tired. Tired as fuck. Not Fuck It, I'm Tired. Tired as fuck. If you haven't read those books, it's awesome. You know, I really have liked her work, and I first heard about the bad vegan in there. And what's the bad vegan's name? What's her name? Is it Sharma? I gotta make sure. You can't get names wrong. Bad vegan. Sharma. Sarma. Sarma. Let's see. Okay, Sarma. So, Caroline Dooner posted her thoughts about the documentary. And from her book, she said that she's, you know, I think visited that vegan restaurant quite frequently. And so the story about Sarma, and I made this joke, right? I made this joke as like, I was like, this is where the lifestyle of veganism leads to. And also more of the story, don't date any of Alec Baldwin's friends. Spoiler alert in that documentary. I won't try to spoil too much, but early in the documentary, you hear that she dates Alec Baldwin or was interested in Alec Baldwin for a short period of time. And then the swindler that she ended up with was a friend of Alec Baldwin. Oh God. And the article, I guess she didn't quite go full circle with the lessons here, because I just see here on Yahoo, it says bad vegan Sarma Melgalis has a little bit of regret that she didn't date Alec Baldwin. Now, granted, her experience was horrible with Alec Baldwin's friend, but we got to understand here, Sarma, that birds of a feather flock together. And Alec Baldwin actually shot and killed a woman. So I don't know. I can't 100% positively say in good faith that dating Alec Baldwin would have been a good idea or even a better idea than dating his scammer friend on social media. So, man. But anyway, I said that as a joke, but I want to say my true thoughts of, you know, I want to read my thoughts of like what came up, because someone asked me, you know, what I thought about it. And I replied, I said, I think it's shocking how costly it can be for even a successful woman to not have boundaries or to see their self-worth in relationships. I think she's responsible for her own actions, but she's also a victim of something horrible. In my opinion, it shows the importance of having understanding of psychology and how people use manipulation, and also to have trustworthy people in your circle that can point out the blind spots. And I think this is a big aspect of success that maybe people don't always talk about. Like, I know, if you think of marketing, right? Let me adjust my headphones here. If you think of marketing, like, oftentimes you'll see people talk about mindset, funnels, a law of attraction, manifesting clients, things like that. But what is it that helps you keep those clients and that success? Well, for one thing, you need to be equipped. You need to be mentally equipped, and you need to understand psychology to a certain extent. Because in the spiritual world or the spiritual business world, you may fall under the illusion that it's all sunshine and rainbows and it's all positive thinking. And I think this is one of the reasons why people get so resentful about being scammed over by a coach or getting caught up in cult-like mentality and feeling regret and then wanting to burn the entire industry down. But you gotta understand, no matter what industry you're in, whatever group you're in, it's susceptible to cult-like behavior. It's susceptible to scamming. It's susceptible to human behavior of a human trying to get over on you. You're gonna run into narcissists, you know, not to reinforce the ridiculousness of people calling everybody a narcissist these days. You know, I joked earlier this week or last week that everyone who unfollows me is a narcissist. And, you know, that's kind of a joke how people call everybody a narcissist these days. But granted, if you are, especially in business, I would say, but in any industry, there's a high chance of running into narcissism or full-blown NPD. So what I'm saying here is you got to be able to understand the games that people play, and you got to be able to ground yourself. One thing I will say And I'm not, I'm pretty sure I mentioned this in previous podcast episodes, but it's worth saying again. What really catches people, in fact, I probably said it during the Tinder Swindler, you know the thing. No, the Tinder Swindler podcast, I probably said it then. But the thing is if you get caught up in fantasy, and if you become ungrounded, and you get caught up in these empty promises, then it becomes easier for you to be manipulated and scammed. Now, the example in this situation with Bad Vegan, without exposing the whole story, but the summary of the story is that she was told that herself and her dog would live forever if this man in her life, which is Alec Baldwin's friend, which is birds of a feather flock together, don't date fucking Alec Baldwin. Ugh. I wish she got that lesson. It hurts me to read that headline that she wished she dated Alec Baldwin. Like, no, that's making the same mistake. That's like fucking what they say where it's like you're going to date the same person in the same body until you get the lesson. It just feels like that. It's like Alec Baldwin's the same motherfucker. That's why they banter with each other on social media. He rolls with people like that. Anyway, as you can see, you might assume that I'm not a big Alec Baldwin fan. And if you assume that, you might be right. But anyway, you know, it's these things that take us away from reality. And what took her away from reality is this illusion that she would live forever and her dog would live forever. And something that I see in the coaching industry, for example, is the reality of always being focused on the man or the woman you're becoming to be paying these high ticket. You're paying these high ticket prices because this is what the woman you're becoming would pay. Meanwhile, you're like, yo, what the fuck? These high ticket prices, this is making it hard to pay fucking rent. And that's not good. So it's like you had to be grounded in reality and you got to be grounded into who you are instead of being whisked away into this illusion of what could be, or being whisked away into chasing the carrot endlessly and endlessly and endlessly. And that's what I see as a common theme with the Tinder Swindler. That's what I see as a, you know, it's like, keep wiring me money and then you'll prove yourself. This is a common thread that I see in this coaching call I heard about, you know, a while back, not too far back, but this guy Bentino, that's what he did. It's what I see with the Bad Vegan. And it's what I see in some coaching spaces where it's like this endless chasing carrots and there's no groundedness. There's no investing plan. There's no, you know, numbers, like specific numbers of like, okay, what percentage of money am I investing in myself, or what specific money am I giving you to help you out? There's no specifics. There's no groundedness. There's no reality. It's whisked away from reality into this fantasy land that ends up getting people burned, whether it's in relationships or business. And I think that's important to understand. I was listening to Robert Greene recently, and he was saying something along the lines, and he's an author of 48 Laws of Power, The Art of Seduction, and The 50th Law. I will say that I read a lot of 48 Laws of Power and The Art of Seduction when I was in basic training, because those are only two books I had. I wasn't allowed to have any other books, but I wanted to study humanity and psychology in a certain way and understand the laws of power and all that stuff. He said something interesting, though. He said that if you are a manipulative person and if you are a bad person, you probably don't need to read my book because you probably already know how to hurt people. What this book, the books are good for, he says, is the books are good to equip people for when those situations come up so they can navigate that. And then he also made a good point that not every law of power or art of seduction is evil in a sense. Some of it is just personal development. So he made some good points there. And that's something I want to drive home, where it will serve you to have awareness around psychology. And, you know, I would say master it, but even if you're not mastering it, just having the, you know, being informed by it, having the awareness around how people play games, how people get over on one another, you know, what political games happen, and just kind of understanding psychology and what type of strategies people use. For some people, including Rebecca, watching shows like The Bad Vegan is disturbing and horrifying, and sometimes just rattles the nervous system. And I don't necessarily recommend people to purposely go and rattle their own nervous system to see what's going on, I guess. But I do recommend to embrace some level of discomfort. Oh, my phone's vibrating. That's what that sound was. But I do recommend embracing some level of discomfort to, you know, judging the balance between taking care of your mental health, having an aspect to clear your nervous system if it does rattle you a bit, or finding a different medium of getting this information that doesn't rattle your nervous system as much, or at all for that matter. But I do want to say that discomfort of realizing the realness of this world and the realness of the psychology behind these things and the things that happen, not in a way of being obsessed by it or being all doom and gloom and being thrown down the rabbit hole and things of that nature, but just having an understanding. I think that's very important to be able to survive in business. Not only survive, but thrive. You know, not to be negative and saying you must survive, but to thrive in business. Because when you understand the games that people play and you understand the tools of manipulation that people use, then you're ultimately safer and you're more grounded. And you're able to handle more. And, you know, I just want to say, like, it's shocking to me in these situations. The Tinder swindler, it seemed like he was kind of going after people, you know, anybody who had like a line of credit. But the bad vegan person, he went after a target of someone who was successful, probably building the most successful vegan restaurant in the history of the world, if I'm not mistaken. And she really flushed some incredible dreams down the toilet. Maybe she gets a redemption, you know, but if she keeps dating in the Alec Baldwin dating pool, it's not a good sign. But to see somebody with that much opportunity, she had a good team by her side even. She had supportive people and supportive employees. But to see somebody that was built for that success and lose that from a lack for a number of things, a lack of boundaries, misunderstanding psychology, and abandoning herself to maybe ease the pain of loneliness, it really cost her. You know, she is a victim. She is also partly responsible for what it led her down. And there's a lot worse aspects of the story that I'm not saying because I don't want to spoil the documentary if you haven't seen it yet. But I wanted to say that if you feel like you've been burned in the past, if you feel, you know, you're left in the dark when it comes to reading people, I just want to say sort of the point of this podcast, or one of the major points of this podcast, is to help equip you, to help, you know, you be self-sufficient when it comes to the manipulations that people play. Part of the reason for my program, Fuck Cancel Culture, is to equip my clients to be able to deal when cancel culture comes knocking on their front door. Because what happens is cancel culture, people who are involved in the mob mentality and cancel culture, they target people they know that they can take advantage of. And submitting to the wrong person and letting people win their psychological games, that can cost you a lot in life. That can cost business opportunities. that can cost you money, that can throw you down the wrong path. And sometimes, you know, as extreme as what is shown in The Bad Vegan, sometimes it's not as extreme, but it always knocks you off your center and throws you down the wrong path. So I highly recommend sharpening your tools around this. You know, this is my pitch for you to continue listening to this podcast. It's my pitch to you to learn more and seek out more psychology and not be afraid by the intense realism that life has to offer or teachings have to offer. So, you know, two books to start out with is anything Robert Greene writes. That, you know, if you haven't ever read his books, it's worth reading. And to have a support system in place. And, you know, a call to action to my services as well. Like Fuck Cancel Culture, for instance. You can find that in the show notes. It's an amazing action-packed digital product at this point. But, you know, it pays to understand boundaries. Because that's what's getting in the way of you showing up fully. You know, that's what's getting in the way of you making the money that you deserve. And that's getting in the way of you keeping the money you deserve. That's getting in the way of you investing the money you deserve. That's getting in the way of your true authentic expression. Having those boundaries and knowing when someone's draining your energy, when someone's manipulating you, when someone's misguiding you. When you start to understand that and you start to ground yourself, then everything in your life improves. The quality of your relationships, the quality of your business, the quality of your mindset. And yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about today. I think really the theme about this podcast, from trans women swimming to The Bad Vegan, it all comes down to setting boundaries, either protecting yourself or protecting others around you, and understanding what life has to offer. You got to understand this. You know, one of the first books, I remember reading The Secret and learning about the law of attraction. And I'm not against the law of attraction. But I remember feeling a little bit ungrounded when I got whisked away by just positive thinking. I sort of lost track of the reality of what I need to do to nurture myself. I kind of lost track, you know, like I got into all this business positivity stuff, but by doing that, I trusted everybody and just thought everyone had good intentions. And that takes you away from reality, and that can just lead to pitfalls. And what helped me was learning more about psychology and mixing that in with the law of attraction and spirituality. Like, yes, that mystical shit is fucking awesome as long as you have a sense of groundedness with it and you understand that there's more to it than just thinking happy thoughts and trusting everybody that comes your way because you're just a magnet of positivity. And when you can blend those two and you can have intense realism, but you can have a positive outlook in life and shed light to, you know, whoever you come across, there's a gift to that. I will also say the same thing about ego. It's like when I first got into positive thinking and spirituality, I thought I had to get rid of my personality and who I was. And I became this positive affirmation fucking robot. But that wasn't my identity. And with that, you're not going to carve your space in this world because you're pretending your ego's not there and you're pretending the real you isn't there. So it's a mixture of being able to understand your ego and be grounded in your ego and not let your ego take control of you, but also acknowledge that your ego will always exist and you have to co-create with that ego if you want to make a name for yourself and build a legacy, right? So that's my message for you today. Thank you for listening to this podcast. It's been a blessing being back here. It feels like a little bit of a time since I've been here, but I'm still alive. Everything is all good. And until next time, friends, By the way, I'm still shadow banned on the Instagram, so sharing this podcast is extra appreciated. You can find me on Instagram at Sorry I Offended You or at Brandon.Marshall.Havener. I got two Instagrams now, and they both connect between my bios. So if you want to see what's going on, each one's going to have a different flavor. And also, last but not least, you can find everything Brandon Marshall Havener at BrandonMarshallHavener.com. And if you're looking to face the intense realism of what we're facing today in cancel culture, and you're looking to elevate your message and build boldness, I highly suggest my new program called Fuck Cancel Culture. You can find that in the show notes, or you can find that at my website or my Instagram handle. You can find it everywhere. Anyway, thank you for listening, and until next time.